Eight Pen Publishing continues to sponsor Above the Firehouse podcast. For classic Disney photography, artwork, and artists, go to www.8penpublishing.com.
Good morning, and welcome to Disneyland. You're now standing in Town Square, USA, in a typical American town at the turn of the last century. While you're waiting for the remainder of Disneyland to open, you may visit a few of the attractions already open in Town Square. From the Disneyland and Santa Fe Railroad Station, you can journey around the perimeter of the Magic Kingdom, passing through the Backwoods Country, Indian Territory, the Grand Canyon Diorama, and the Primeval World. In the Opera House, enjoy great moments with Mr. Lincoln, the amazing, realistic figure of our 16th president, brought to life through the wonders of audio animatronics. If you're holding a ticket for one of our informative guided tours, you'll find the tour garden just to the left of City Hall. Brighten your morning with a cup of delicious Hills Brothers coffee, or browse through the Disneyland Emporium. For your convenience, rental cameras may be obtained from the Kodak shop on Main Street, rental lockers in the Global Van Lines building. Restrooms are located just off the veranda between City Hall and the fire station. Have a happy day in Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are about to embark on a journey into all things Disney. So join us as we travel through the main gate, under the trestle, and just past City Hall to our final destination, Above the Firehouse. And now your host, Tony Pascal.
Welcome to Above the Firehouse podcast. My name is Tony, and I will be your host. This podcast is a look into all things Disney and provides you with audio and visual experiences. Every now and then, I will do a video cast. Hello, once again. I would like to start off this show with a little advice. Okay? Now, when you go to Disneyland to take pictures with your digital camera, remember to bring your memory card. I was back at the park on Friday the 13th, and that's what happened to me. And I just wanted to tell you about this. Yeah, I was the victim of Friday the 13th. Or actually, there's more to that story. Yes. Not only that, I had a hard drive crash. I have had built my own systems and other pre-ones for about 18 years now. And this is actually the first one to ever crash on me. This was on the system that I have my editing and DVD software on, my Premiere, my Studio, my Encore, my Audition. And, knowing me, I couldn't find my backup disk that I made, huh? Pretty nice, huh? But the footage dump is okay because I have it on another drive. Hey, 8 Pen Publishing continues to sponsor our podcast. Thank you, Mike Harleen, a good friend. Speaking of, actually in late 2007... 8-Pen Publishing will be coming out with a new book that captures the history of the Disneyland parks of yesteryears. Now, accompanied with it will be a DVD of your favorite Disney Imagineers and legends, like Ron Diaz, Blaine Gibson, David Pacheco, as well as interviews with some of the greatest legends of all, Betty Taylor, Golden Horseshoe, Ollie Johnson, and so many more. You'll also be able to see never-before-seen photos of Disneyland. Now, there's no title as of yet, so she's still working on that, but we wanted to give you a little heads up on that. Also, if you love Bob Gurr, then you will love a little bit of history changing, or not changing, more like hanging on your walls. 8-Pen Publishing will be releasing just in time for Christmas a beautifully designed art frame piece capturing the Disneyland attraction that Bob Gurr designed, which will also be signed actually by Bob Gurr himself. Now, there will be a limited number of quantities available, so be on the look for that over at 8penpublishing.com. Hey, I'd also like to announce that I have my Above the Firehouse pins in stock and are ready to be purchased. And it's done just basically to support my podcast. So now you can go purchase them from the main website, and they're only $6 with shipping and tax included. Now, currently, they will only be shipped in USA, but if you are out of the country, you can email me at p- podcast@abovethefirehouse.com. Let me know you want one, and I can invoice you. And you can pay with your credit card via PayPal. I'm also going to be in the park on Friday, October 27th. So the first three people that come up to me will also get a free pin. So that'll be something to look forward to. We have a small show for you, but a show nonetheless. I've been having a little stomach problems for the past couple days, which also was a deterrent of not getting my podcast up on time, plus my day job and taking care of some other stuff. But other than that, I'm feeling a little better, and I know I just posted that it was delayed, but I wanted to get the show out for you. So, with that in mind, here we go. That's right, this week in Disney history, where we look into this week's Disney history. On October 19th, in the year 2000, the new FastPass booth opened at the Haunted Mansion in Walt Disney World. On October 20th, 1965, as Disneyland secretly purchased much of the land needed to build a new resort in Florida, news of the project is leaked to the Orlando Sentinel. On October 21st in the year 1965, Walt Disney receives the final script for Disneyland's latest project, The Pirates of the Caribbean. 5 days later, the dialogue recording will begin with performers such as J. Pat O'Malley and Paul Frees. On October 27th, 1979, at the Magic Kingdom, Kurt Miller, Walt Disney World's 100 millionth guest, passes through the turnstiles. Man, they were getting some serious numbers in those early days, huh? And you know what? That is actually this week in Disney history.
In the middle of the night, out of the speakers it came. No one knew the destruction it would cause. And now, just when you thought it was safe to go back to the podcast, Above the Firehouse brings you another stupid Disney joke.
That's right. And this one's really stupid. What do you get when you cross Dumbo, the elephant, and a rhino? Like some time to think of that? Time's up. Elephino. And that's this week's stupid Disney joke.
If you don't know now, now you do.
About the Firehouse, that's a Disney fun fact for you.
Like Dopey and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Dumbo never uttered a single word. And that's this week's Disney fun fact. Let you guys go the know that the contest is still going on. You can see the questions on the forums as well at www.abovethefirehouse.com/forums, and look in the podcast section under contest. Now the prize is a 40-page pictorial of the Disney years from 1955 to 1958 from 8-Pin Publishing. So once again, here are the questions. Question number one. Now, escape to which mountain featured the adventures of two orphans named who? In Disneyland's The Haunted Mansion attraction, you'll hear the spooky song grim, grinning ghost. Can you complete the missing lyrics from the Diurgity? Creepy creeps and eerie eyes start to... Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Question number three. Who was the first performer to win the Best Actor or Best Actress Oscar for a role in a Disneyland film? Now, according to question number four, Be Our Guest from Beauty and the Beast, blank, blank, while the flatware's entertaining. Question number five. The three lands currently existing at Disneyland Park that were not there on opening day included what three? Question number six. The unusual ladder used in The Santa Claus is manufactured by who? Question number seven. Pinocchio's bad boy friend who becomes a donkey is named what? And he was voiced by prolific actor who? Question number eight. Disney's first video game ever was based on the movie what? And promotions of the movie heavily touted the fact that you can play the game after you saw the film. Question number nine. The very first Mickey Mouse watch was manufactured by what manufacturer company? And finally, question number 10. Starstruck animated Disney short what was nominated for an Academy Award in 1938? And don't forget, you can send your answers over to podcast at abovethefirehouse.com. And it ends November 5th at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. So, good luck to you. When it's her time to fly, she's got love on her side. Okay, so I was at the park on Friday, October 13th. Yes, Friday the 13th. And since I forgot my memory card, did I remember my iRiver? I did. Or did I? Yes, I did. I got more audio from the park. And well, let's first go over to DCA, Disney California Adventure. Now, I know this is the only park where you can actually purchase and drink beer in. Now, I think they need to monitor how much people drink, because I was near the launch pad at screaming, and there was some dude yelling at the top of his head right near the countdown near me, and I had no idea at all what he was saying. So let me play that for you right here, right now. So I thought, you know, that was odd, right? So I just sat there more and wanted to see the next one. Because originally I thought there was something added to the soundtrack. And, well, I thought he was done, but... Yeah, he did it again. Well, after that I got done, I wanted to go to Disneyland. So I started to make my way to New Orleans Square to get some food. I planned on going there while that pirate band, which I cannot stand, was not playing. And so to my surprise, I heard some old school jazz being played in the background, like they used to do. And I turned my iRiver on, and as I got there, they were done, you know. Then they started moving away, and then all of a sudden I heard them do one more song. So I turned around and got them. So you know, they definitely gotta, you know, definitely bring this stuff back. Check it out.
Yeah.
Man, I gotta tell you, that was insane. Also, the percussion was done with a guy on snare and another guy on the bass, and they were so synced in together, you would swear that it was some one guy on a trap kit. Intense. Very, very intense. Well, so, later on that night, I wanted to get in line for Haunted Mansion, because at 7 p.m., you know, they would, you know, basically do a little ceremony to turn on, you know, all the Christmas lights for Halloween, shall we say. So, remember, this is Friday the 13th. Guess what happens? So I'm in line. And at 6:55 p.m., they do it. No, not at 7 p.m. like they normally would do. So I'm, like, totally rushing to get my freaking iRiver on. And I'm only available to get some of it for you. So I'm going to play it for you. But I would like you guys to know that next time I'm there, October 27th, I'm sure I will be getting it for you. And here's that for you.
Every night, when the air is deathly still, that is the time when ghosts are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight. But tonight, in honor of the arrival of Sandy Claus, they have gathered for a ghoul-tide celebration that they hope will raise your spirits. You're all invited as they cast their eerie glow upon the mansion to light the way for Sandy Claus. Join us and scream along. Have a frightfully good evening. Scary Christmas to all and to all.
So, when I was younger, as a kid and in a teen, I would remember this one little show that was on, and it'd be either on the TV or it was the Disney Channel, back when I thought, you know, Disney Channel was good. And it was called Mickey's Big Show, and I got a little some of that for you right here.
Introducing Donald Duck reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb. Mary Had
Mary Had a Little Lamb. The first was proud as well. And I was where the Mary went. The lamb was long ago.
Little Boy Blue.
Little Boy Blue, the blue you hug.
Donald, behave yourself. Now go on.
Yeah, you want you, you know you're hard.
I got a hold of a Walt Disney interview, and I don't know the circa of this, but the interview audio did not have an opening question, so I will ask it as what I believe it to be as a guess. So let's check that out right here. Mr. Disney, how did you come to California and get your company started?
Well, I came to Hollywood and arrived here in August 1923 with $40 in my pocket and a coat and a pair of trousers that didn't match. And one half of my suitcase had my shirts and underwear and things. The other half had my drawing materials.
it was
a cardboard suitcase at that.
We don't think of you in terms of the silent picture era. What did you do when you finally got out here?
Well, I tried to get a job doing anything I could in the studio so I could learn. I was a little discouraged with the cartoon at that time. I felt at that time that I was getting into it too late. In other words, I thought the cartoon business was established in such a way that there's no chance to break into it. So I tried to get a job in Hollywood, working in the picture business so I could learn it. I would have liked to have been a director or any part of that. And there was nothing open, so before I knew it, I had my drawing board out and I started back at the cartoon. And I was able to secure a contract for 12 of these short films. And I did all the drawing myself. I had no help at all. I was all alone, but I made the first six practically alone. Then at that time, I was able to get some of the boys that had been with me in Kansas City to come out. So from the seventh on, I had some help, and I got by the first year, and they were fairly successful, and that led to other things. And with the some of the boys I'd worked with in Kansas City augmenting the setup, I was able to eventually build an organization, and it reached a point that I had so many, working with me, and so much time and attention demanded that I had to drop the drawing end of it myself. But I've never regretted it, because drawing was always a means to an end with me. And so through these other boys who were good draftsmen and artists in many different phases of business, very talented people, coordinating their talents is what has built this business. And if I hadn't dropped the drawing end of it myself, I don't think I'd have built this organization.
When did you establish your own company? What year would that have been?
1923. My brother was here, and in effect, the government helped subsidize us, and I'll explain that to you. My brother was a veteran of the First World War, and he would had been hospitalized and things, and so he was receiving a certain disability compensation that amounted to about $85 a month. And we lived on that while we established the studio. And from that time on, my brother Roy and I have been together in this business. And until the year 1940, we didn't have a stockholder.
Now, when was Mickey Mouse born?
Mickey Mouse came about in 1928.
With sound, I presume?
Well, no, the first Mickey Mouse was made silent. And while we were making the first Mickey Mouse, sound came. So we decided that there's no sense in making anything more silent. And we immediately switched to sound, and we didn't have any sound equipment or anything else, but we went ahead and made them for sound, and we eventually got sound on them, and of course, it, I think, played the big part in establishing Mickey Mouse.
Where did the idea for Mickey come from?
Well, it came about through a situation that I was contracting with a middleman for my films, and they were being released through Universal, and he was a rather unscrupulous character, and he... He thought he could cut in and move in a little better, and I pulled away from him, and I was left alone. And he happened to own the character; he had a right to the character. So that was one of the big lessons I learned. And from then on, I said, "There's no middleman. He contributed nothing. We did everything." So I had to get a new character, and I'd been doing a rabbit. It was called Oswald the Rabbit. I did and started for him. So I had to have a new character, and I was coming back after this meeting in New York, and Mrs. Disney's with me, and was on the train in those days, you know, and there's 3 days, over 3 days from New York. And I said, we got to get a new character, and I'd fool around a lot with little mice, and they were always cute characters, and they hadn't been overdone in the picture field. They'd been used, but never featured. So I decided it would be with a mouse, because at that time, I didn't have Mickey as a more or less a normal scale human being. I had him as a scaled mouse with overscaled props. And that's how it came about. It's kind of like, and then the name came, what would you call him, and the euphony there of Mickey Mouse. And I had a Mortimer first, and my wife shook her head, and then I tried Mickey, and she nodded the other way, and that was it.
Is it true that you did the voice for Mickey yourself in the early days?
Oh, yeah, I still do it.
I was going to ask if you could, and you still can.
Well, it's just the falsetto, and we were fooling around and trying to get a voice for a mouse, and nobody knew what a mouse would sound like, so I said, well, it's kind of like this. And the guy said, well, why don't you do it? And I knew I'd always be on the payroll, so I did it.
When was Donald Duck born?
Well, Donald came about... 4 or 5 years after Mickey Mouse, and I heard the voice on the radio. It was almost an amateur program, and this boy was imitating animals and things and birds, and he had this little gag that he ended his act with about the little duck. He had it a girl duck. Reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb, and it was that odd voice, and I immediately got in touch with the radio station. They didn't even know who he was. He'd gone. I've traced him down and found he was working for a dairy. And he was doing little lectures in the schools on bird life, wearing the uniform of this dairy, advertising the milk. It was an indirect way of getting their advertising. And he'd move to his classrooms and tell them about the birds and how the meadowlark could sound and all of that. So he wasn't making much money, and I said, well, I can pay you a little more than they're paying if you want to come over here, and we'll find out what we can do with that voice. So he was here on the payroll for about a year before the thing that kept throwing me all the time was a girl duck. And finally, I said, well, it don't have to be a girl. It can be a boy duck, you know? Mm. So we ended up with Donald.
What about all the other characters like Pluto and... did you think of these yourself, or is it sort of a joint...
Well, they evolved. Now, Pluto, we were doing a short with Mickey Mouse, I think it's called The Chain Gang, where that he escaped from prison, and they sent the hounds after him. And one of these hounds, we were fooling around with this hound that was on the trail, this runaway mouse... And out of that came this funny hound character. And from there on, we said, well, we can use him. And before we knew it, we had him in as Mickey's pal, and we had changed him a little bit from the hound, but that's how it started. All of them will spring out of something. Now, the Donald Duck came from this voice. Then we tried to find a character. Then I had a little subject coming where I used a duck, and it was Donald. And from there on, he blossomed out.
And the family grew.
Yeah.
Where are they all now?
Oh, they're very active right now. We do an awful lot with them in television, and we do a certain number of short features to accompany our longer features.
Mickey is still working on.
Oh, yes.
We're very happy to know that.
He's 30 years old now.
That's a pretty old mouse, isn't it?
Well, I mean, through the years, he's got... he's a more better constructed mouse than he ever was. I think that...
he's improved with age.
He's improved with age, yeah.
The rustling leaves and increasing darkness herald the approach of All Hallows' Eve. It is a time for ghouls, goblins, and spooks to roam free among us. This year, the Window to the Magic.com podcast will be playing host to these specters as they bring you an all-new Halloween show. This will be unlike anything you have heard from them before. Join us Sunday, October 29th, as the Window to the Magic.com podcast travels to Disneyland, USA, to present the all-original radio drama, Secrets of the Wooden Door. Your favorite Window to the Magic personalities and some very special guests will venture forth into unknown environs of the famous Haunted Mansion. Listen in, if you dare.
Ah, I found out when that interview was held. In January of 1959. And the interviewer was Tony Thomas, but I'm not sure about who he is. But anyway, for that promo from Window to the Magic, I'm going to be definitely listening to that. Make sure you guys do it as well. I'm sure it's going to be a fun little podcast to listen to. Well, looks like that's the end of our show. Well, thank you guys for letting me entertain you, and I would love to hear your feedback and play your voicemails on the show. So if you wish to leave a voicemail, you can at 818-574-5027 or our other hotline, area code 206-203-2268, and your feedback is important to me. If you have anything Disney-related, you're also welcome to leave me a voicemail or an email. Now, the email is podcast@abovethefirehouse.com. Don't forget our website, www.abovethefirehouse.com. And I have my forums on there as well, so sign up and join the conversation. It's free and painless. Don't forget our gallery, www.abovethefirehouse.com/gallery. And our Above the Firehouse pins. And, well, my name is Tony, and we'll see you all again next time on Above the Firehouse podcast. So until then, you guys have a magical day.
So we'll sing you a little song, and it won't be very long, about so long, so long.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh?
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
Huh? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
It's always Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Above the Firehouse, where the light of the Disney legacy shines on.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in just a few moments, the window to the Magic Podcast Show will begin. Your friend and host, Mr. Paul Berry, invites you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the sounds of Walt Disney's original Magic Kingdom.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Calvin.
I'm Mouseketeer Greg.
My name is Paul, and I will be your guide through the wonderful world of Disney sound experiences.
This show is a weekly trip into the world of the Disney theme parks and resorts.
And this is the place where you get to use your ears to surround yourself with the magic.
For your safety, please remain seated while listening to the WindowToTheMagic.com podcast.
I'm going to take you on a trip around the Disneyland Resort.
The rules of the game are simple.
We're going to start in the Esplanade. And we're going to end somewhere either in Disneyland or in Disney's California Adventure. It's your job to tell me where we ended up and how we got there.
Now that you know all the rules, it's time to play the game.
That's fantastic.
Do you ever go to one of the Disney parks, stop for a moment, and listen to the music?
I could hear it and almost see it as if it were unfolding around me.
As the music made its way through the crowd and into my ears, it invaded my very soul and inflicted me with rhythmitis.
Maybe there's a name for this, something like Disnotic obsession.
Surround yourself with the magic!
Surround yourself with the magic.
Please visit WindowToTheMagic.com for more information.